Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful. It is November 9th, 2022. This is your post-AEW show. We've got Alex Pawlowski here with us. Alex, how you doing?
I'm sick, but pushed through it. It's basically my daughter has had a cold on and off for 4 months. So every now and then she gives it to me. But today I got a 3.5 hour nap in, so I'm ready to go.
This is going to be your flu game. What really happened is you were delivered a pizza right before this. Yep. And we think that somebody gave you food
poisoning.
Those damn
Utah Jazz pizza delivery boys.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. You can subscribe. You can leave a comment. That stuff really, really helps us out. YouTube switched a whole bunch of stuff up. So if you leave us a nice thumbs up, you leave us a comment on the video, that stuff helps. There are other ways you can help. You can leave us a nice review on podcast platforms everywhere. And if you are a subscriber here on YouTube or any of our podcast platforms, you probably saw that I dropped something a little bit special today. The 200th episode of my Backstage Report podcast that I do every week on Fightful Select. I've got a lot of people who don't follow the day-to-day news and they prefer the weekly catch-up that I do on FightfulSelect.com and podcast portion. I also add my opinions to that as well. That is on all of our podcast platforms right now, free as a preview. Check it out. Maybe you like it. Maybe you want to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We'll have some news on this very show tonight in the morning, but we had some news about Warner Brothers Discovery. A source told me that they would be shocked if they didn't give a renewal offer to AEW, but that ain't it. We had news on an Impact wrestler gaining their release. And this is one I don't even have to paywall anymore. We reported that Taryn Terrell asked for her or put in her notice at NWA. Within about an hour of us posting that, she's like, not only did I do that, I'm done. I'm retiring from wrestling altogether. So FightfulSelect.com, guys. It's a hoot. It's only $5. Let's talk about AEW Dynamite. Get your super chats, get your humper chats in. You can do that here on YouTube or at humperchats.com. Humper chats allow you to leave your question or statement before we go on the air, while we're on the air, either one. YouTube can do it while we are on the air. I want to thank, first off, Luis for doing the moderating and our friend Gisberto, who's been doing the thumbnails for us of late. Big shout out to him. But Orion Ben says best opening hour of Dynamite in like 6 weeks. Do you agree with that?
Still a bit of a brain fog. Yeah, the first hour was really good. There was some really good stuff there. I mean, also a hell of a main event to finish out the show as well. There was some really good stuff throughout the entire night.
I'm excited to talk about it, man. We've got a ton to talk about. Don't forget also list in your boy today. But let's go ahead and get into AEW Dynamite. Tony Khan said before this show that it'd be a newsworthy one. I don't like it when people that are, well, you know, that are, I don't know, maybe not the promoters that are touting, it's going to be a big show. It's going to be a big show, because that sets some unrealistic expectations.
Right.
Because I'll have people that are like, what's happening tonight? What's happening tonight? I'm like, I haven't heard of anything. Right. Now, last week we were told it was a big show, and Colt Cabana came back. That was newsworthy. Jeff Jarrett popped up. Shibata popped up. If you would have told me last week was a newsworthy show, I would have been like, they were right. They were right about that. Some of the news that broke on this show, Saraya being cleared, we knew that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, she ain't going to build to a match with Britt Baker. But the big piece of news that dropped was that it looks like the Elite are coming back at full gear, which seemed to be the plan from the jump. But there was some heavy imagery on this show that implied that it would be full gear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cool with that. I think that's pretty noteworthy. But, I mean, I don't know if I need the, it's going to be big, it's going to be big every week. And to Tony's credit, he didn't say that last week. He said newsworthy this week.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the announcement that they're going to be in the UK, I mean, at
that
Nebulous
was, okay, 2023. That was you're right.
Maybe that's they didn't say like a date or even a time frame, just 2023. So maybe that was it. Yeah, the thing about it is the way that they're doing this whole teasing of the Elite coming back with the Thanos snap dust and everything, and then this particular one had so much full gear imagery in the little promo, the video. It kind of like I personally would have just loved it if I had no idea, and they showed up, as opposed to now I'm gonna. I mean, I'm already going to get full gear, but the idea I'm watching full gear going, when are they going to show up? Because they're going to show up tonight because you told us. As opposed to just out of the blue, didn't expect it, and their music hits and they come out. It would be a different kind of a feeling, I think.
I do think this is kind of setting the stage, and it does give like a pre-made story, which I like as well. But we kicked off this show, Acclaimed in FTR against Swerve and Our Glory and the Guns. You knew the Guns were here to take the pin. You knew right. They were. But they work really, really well in what they do and what their role is. And this was also to tease dissension between the Acclaimed and FTR. Perhaps my favorite thing here, Anthony Bowens, who gave me some great quotes for my feature on Casey Navarro that I dropped this week. Check that out. It's pinned to my Twitter. Man, it looked originally in the Acclaimed, like I knew what he was capable of. I did a feature on him years ago, so I had to study him heavily. But it looked for like a while like Max Caster would be the breakout because of his mic skills and all that. Now, Anthony Bowens has like 3 or 4 successful catchphrases, and he's delivering in the ring. He's got that white hot tag that he does. Like it's so good. Like Anthony Bowens is undeniable. I don't know if they'll ever push him to like top levels, but he's very clearly a guy that has like a 10, 15, 20 year future in AEW if he wants it, depending on how long he lasts physically. I think that's the story of this match in the ring that I took away from this. Him using the pop-up Famaster has a little bit of an extra meaning to it now. The Billy Gunn is there. Billy Gunn hits the ring and goes right after Swerve because why wouldn't he, Alex?
Sure.
I thought a lot of this was effective storytelling in what they were trying to do.
Yeah. This and again, a lot of hesitancy on Keith Lee's part and trying to figure out where he fits into all of this. Wanting to be the tag champs again, but not trusting his partner. Certainly doesn't have the animosity towards the Acclaimed that Swerve does. Has no ill will for Billy Gunn. So he's trying to figure out how to get this whole thing started. But all it takes is, and he honestly, doesn't really have any animosity towards FTR. But when FTR starts punching him in the head, of course he's going to fight back. So there's a very interesting dynamic to this whole thing. But yes, I really appreciated how the Acclaimed and Swerve and Our Glory didn't figure into the pinfall. Keep these guys away from real action with each other until they have that rubber match at Full Gear. I think that's good. The big rig done by the Guns was a choice as well.
Yeah,
but I
sure
like that it's finished as well with the big rig by FTR the way that God intended.
Yeah, so we've got Riot DR saying, "Hey, yo, did Shawn Michaels have a garage sale or did the Gun Boys raid his closet? Between their gear and FTR's complete package, I don't know what year it is." Another note, I don't realize how many times MJF was forced to be the afterthought. We'll talk more about that later, but the Gun Club are always looking to get attention in that manner. Mm-hmm. Chris Kessler mentions that Max's rap was great. It was. What all did he mention tonight? He mentioned
Kyrie.
Yeah, Kyrie.
Herschel Walker.
A lot of that stuff.
A lot of stuff outside of the realm of wrestling.
It got good reactions too.
Oh, sure. That's the point. Yeah.
So I mean that ended up working out pretty well. I love this. Acclaimed and FTR get the win. Swerve and Our Glory continue to be great. I'm still reeling from accusations.
Yes.
Still reeling. Incredible stuff. Yep. Tony Schiavone announced that AEW are heading to the UK in 2023. Tom LaValle is happy about that. Says next year we're in the UK. It's been a long time coming. I mean, they just hit Canada. They're finally hitting the UK. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see how hot the crowds are there, Alex.
Yeah, I like this little turn of phrase by Tom LaValle. First, AEW comes to UK. Next year, to the UK, because they're coming to Rupp Arena.
Rupp Arena. Okay, yeah.
That's a little turn of phrase there, Tom LaValle.
I completely overlooked that. I'm glad that you saw it.
That was nice. Listen, going to the UK is a big deal because AEW does great business over there. Like, everybody loves, like, it's a huge deal for them. I think it's really cool. They get over there, their first big UK show. The fans over there deserve it. I'm hoping it's a big success for them.
Do they though?
I mean,
I'm just kidding. You guys are great, and your conversion rate is rad. I really like that. Shout out to when WrestleTalk used to pay me. I was very happy with that exchange rate. MJF cuts a promo from Pardon My Take, and this is a perfect example of the MJF character.
Right.
He's always the hero of his own story,
mm-hmm.
and he is always thinking of anything to use to motivate himself.
Right.
We made the Michael Jordan joke earlier. That's what Michael mm-hmm. Jordan used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I took that personally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If somebody he felt like shouldn't have been guarding him was right. guarding him. Well, I'm sorry. You're getting punished for that.
Yeah.
Yep. If somebody didn't say hi to him, if he passed him at a steakhouse, I think it was George Carl or something.
Yeah. Well,
sorry. Your team's getting messed up. MJF is like, I was overlooked. First by a neck tattoo, then by mm-hmm. Matt Hardy spilling his brains on the ground.
Honestly,
that's
a really good use of the.
What is the anonymous Raw general manager saying?
It's just said from Luis.
Oh,
yeah, I got it. So I like that through line of every time I had a big moment. It got overshadowed by something else that was not my fault at all. I killed it in this, and this all this time. I love that he said, like, Jericho overshadowed me for a year. Because, I mean, I honestly thought when MJF and when the Pinnacle was formed, we were talking about it that night. Is the Pinnacle the AEW's version of the Four Horsemen? Like there are five of them at the time, but like, But that kind of a group that would stay together throughout the years. You have the tag team, you have the big bruiser, you have the guy who can kind of promo, the guy who's obviously the leader. And it seemed almost immediately that it was like, no, this is actually more about the Inner Circle. This is the Inner Circle's time. Pinnacle's there kind of occasionally, but really that's not the whole point. And I thought that was a good point from him. But the most important one is my giant return, the thing everyone should have been talking about at the last pay-per-view, being overshadowed by a press conference and that whole fallout. And everyone should have been talking about MJF is back. He's got the chip. He's got an army behind him. He came out to Sympathy for the Devil with the mask and everything. That should have been the number one story coming out of it. And he nailed his part. Yes, nailed it. And then the press conference out of his control, and he got overshadowed by it. And I love that he has a chip on his shoulder about that kind of stuff. It makes it feel real.
And it does. And because we know at his heart, MJF is a bad guy, this character. He didn't seem to mention Wardlow. He didn't seem to mention how he's done that to other people. Mm-hmm. He didn't seem to mention how he cost Cody Rhodes the ability to compete for the world title for the rest of his life. He didn't mention how Wardlow squashed him, but everybody was talking about him coming out there and doing plane motions and all that stuff. Because he is the hero of his own story.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't feel like any of the things that he did were wrong. He feels like those were justified. And he was the one that was victimized in that situation.
Absolutely.
So there's this remarkable sense of realism, yet no accepting of responsibility whatsoever as to maybe this is karma getting back at me. Instead, what he does is like, no, I deserve all the good things to happen to me. He's Silky Johnston. He's the player hater of the year. He wants all the bad things to happen to everybody else and all the good things to happen to him. And he doesn't care at what expense. But I like that because still there's some authenticity to it.
Sure.
Because he's not outright saying that. He's just ignoring it. It's like he's not lying. He's just not saying it. We've got Sawyer saying the best heels are right. Yeah. Or they just tell their own truth.
Right.
Malik says, do you think we see a heel Moxley after he loses the title? I want to see a heel Mox in AEW. Maybe heel Moxley pre-WWE. I think we're going to see it eventually. I think, quite honestly, he's their Brett. He's their Hogan. That's what he is. They inked him to a 5-year deal, and they're like, hey, please mentor people and stop throwing pizza slicers into your forehead, please. But I think at some point we see that, and I think it'll be great, Alex.
Yeah, I think when we see it eventually, I think it'll be great. I think that I think that when he loses at Full Gear, he's going on a long vacation because he deserves it. Because he was supposed to get to go on one, and now he's finally going to get to go on one. And when he comes back, maybe he'll be a heel.
He should get a more extended one through Christmas as well.
Right. Oh yeah. The thing of it is that it all depends on how we see MJF now presenting himself as not the good guy, but like I'm just this generational talent. I'm undeniable as ungoddamn deniable, as Cody Rhodes once said, that kind of a thing. I'm coming for this title. It was my birthright kind of a thing. But not being outwardly heelish. And also there's that beatdown by the firm that is a question mark still in our, and as he said, they've said, the doctors have told me that if I want to be 110% by Full Gear, I shouldn't be traveling and making TVs. So they're keeping him off TV with some kind of weird little storyline thing there, which lets us like think more about the most recent thing we've seen from MJF in an AEW ring is the time when the firm turned on him, beat him up, put him through a table. Then we are more likely to think of him as that guy.
Yes.
Than maybe a guy who made that happen as part of a plan to get us all to think he was the good guy. If you keep him off TV, that's the way it's going to be. So going into Full Gear, there's that question of, is the firm going to come out and try to help him? Is the firm going to come out and try to stop him? Like all of that is a really a very intriguing mindset going into it.
Distry says that MJF promo proved what he said in it was true, or that he's good at making you think it's true.
Right. Yeah.
James says Moxley is good. Enough said. So yeah, we did. And by the way, Orion Ben says the greatness of having MJF's promo, then Stokely's. I'll get to Stokely.
Yeah.
Momentarily. Joey Bag of Donut says, how does MJF deliver your amazing promos and still get better at them every week? I mean, he has studied elements of wrestling that have long been forgotten and things. Mm-hmm. If MJF watches something from 1985 World Class and it works right on him and he pops, there's a 98% chance that you, me, everybody watching this has never seen it. But if it pops him, it's going to work. Yeah. It's going to work. Chris Kessler says Mox and MJF are two of the very best at telling a story on the mic. Britt continues to prove herself. Can't wait to talk about that too. But Moxley was out with Regal and he says, here's the deal. I was like MJF once. MJF reminds me and Regal of me. He was like, but MJF is a pretender. He wants you to think he's rich. I don't look like I'm rich, but God damn it, I am rich. I love this. He said, you know, I'm what he pretends to be, but I'm still me. I thought this was fantastic.
The part I loved the most was like, also, yeah, you call yourself the devil. Let me tell you, I've met the devil several times over in the face of different men. Men who've done horrible, terrible things to me and other people. Let me tell you, you ain't that. That's not who you are. Man, that's some really, really good stuff. And also bringing up a connection of the guy that you met, William Regal, because William Regal's in the ring wordlessly, just standing there as this kind of like a wordless hype man. But he says, when you met me, I was a lot like MJF, wasn't I? I picked a fight with you, but you beat me up. And then when I got a chance second time, I took you out. So let's see. MJF picked a fight with me the last time, but I beat him up. Let's see what happens the second time. Because I don't think you got it in you to take me out the way I took out Regal. I think there's a lot. And I love that Moxley says, because we're teachers at the end of the day, we should be setting up the future. Regal and I both want MJF eventually to be the face that runs this place. The guy who everything is built on. We want that for the younger generation to come up and replace us. That is the circle of life. But let me tell you, that time is not now. And I think it's great stuff.
Well, let's talk about Stokely. Luis says, mm-hmm. God bless him. And Distry says it confirms he's with MJF still. Maybe, but it was just good. And I've interviewed Stokely in the past, and this is one of the closest things to him that I've seen. I'm not going to pretend to know him as well as he says he knows MJF here, but this seemed authentic. And he said, you know, I thought that when my best friend, MJF, was going to compete for the AEW title, I'd be right there with him. I'd be managing. I'd been in his corner. Sure. Instead, he's dick riding John Moxley. And then he goes, he stops. He's so disgusted. Dick riding without a license.
He says the worst crime you can commit is dick riding without a license.
Oh my God.
Jeez.
This was so like, there's what more can I add to this?
No, it's great. It was a perfect little promo from him. Adds even more doubt because I think the overwhelming feeling among fans is that this is going to be a swerve, right? MJF is actually still working with the firm and the firm will come out during the match at Full Gear. And we're supposed to think that MJF is angry at them for coming out, but then they'll immediately attack Moxley when the ref's down or whatever. And this is the kind of a little thing that's meant to sow a little bit more doubt in us. And I think that's great. Do add as much doubt to us as possible so that whatever happens will be a really great surprise.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids. And he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger. Her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is. Oh, man. This was really good stuff. This was good stuff. And listen, if you're doing dick riding without a license, I don't know if I should use that for an ad segue. Listen, I signed the form. They're here through 2023. Maybe they'll forget about it by then. But listen, if you're committing that crime, you at least want to do it on a nice Helix mattress. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. How long have you had your mattress? How has your sleep improved? I can tell you I've had my Helix Sleep mattress for a couple of years, and my sleep has never been better. I was on a slab of memory foam before that, and I thought that was the peak. I thought that's as good as it got. Wrong. I took that Helix Sleep quiz, got matched up to my personalized mattress. It was shipped straight to my door free of charge. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences. They have 14 unique mattresses, including a collection of luxury models, a mattress for big and tall sleepers, even one made just for kids. They know there's no better way to test out a new mattress than sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night risk-free trial. If you don't like it, they will pick it up for you. They have, or also you get your full refund as well. That's what I love about our sponsors. They want to make sure that you like it. It's got a 10 or 15 year warranty, depending on the model. It's been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. And it's been recommended by multiple leading chiropractors of doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to for improving your sleep. They have their own memory foam layers in there as well. On some of their models, they have some that are more responsive foam to cradle your body. They have some that cool you down. I took that quiz. I was matched with their Dusk Lux model, and my sleep has never been better. They have great financing plans. They have great payment plans as well. But right now, HelixSleep.com/Fightful, you can get up to $200 off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Let me tell you, last time I went pillow shopping, it was not inexpensive. And Helix is just giving you those things. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Daivari offered the services of his butler to anyone that would bring him the TNT title. And Wardlow brought him the TNT title.
I mean, technically, yes.
And slaughtered him. That was a squash, but we're not here to talk about the squash.
No.
Will Hobbs shows up afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And then Samoa Joe turns on Wardlow.
Samoa Joe, who's been at ringside the whole time, nodding approvingly as he's been powerbombing Ari Daivari into the center of the earth. And Wardlow calls out Will Hobbs, and Will Hobbs comes out. He says, you want this title? That's fine, but you can't have it because I'm going to take every single title in this company. And the what I saw was people like saying, oh, that must have been the moment when Samoa Joe attacked him. If you go back and watch, Samoa Joe had his hand wrapped around the title in I'm going to hit you with this title style for like 35 seconds before Wardlow ever said that line. He was going to go after Wardlow. Now, of course, War Joe is no more. We can't have nice things. But the another nice thing we're going
to
have...
I don't want them to be a thing if they've got two titles anyway.
No, agreed. But I did like the way that they carried themselves together. It was pretty cool. I love the name, by the way. I'm always going to be a sucker for a name. The thing of it is that Will Hobbs is still out there. He wants the TNT title. I mean, Samoa Joe is doing this thing. I wonder, triple threat, or because this is the thing I want. The thing I kind of have come to terms with is that I think that Wardlow and Hobbs should have a real, honest to God feud that lasts several matches over the course of 6 weeks or more. Maybe they brawl to the outside in a double count out, and you got to do a rematch or whatever. But I think this is the time to put some gold on Will Hobbs, and I think he's the perfect guy to be the guy to beat Wardlow, which means you got to do Wardlow versus Samoa Joe first, because I think that eventually that Hobbs just got to be the guy who comes out of there. That's my own personal prediction and hope. So I don't know what the timeline is, but Wardlow versus Samoa Joe is going to be sirloin beef, sons of bitches, big meaty man slapping meat. I'm going to like that a lot.
I want to see this Samoa Joe. I want to see angry, mad Samoa Joe instead of nods approvingly Samoa Joe from ringside. We already didn't get much Samoa Joe this year for multiple reasons. WWE parking him and firing him, and then he had to go film stuff. He had to do the Twisted Metal show, which I'm very excited to see whenever he popped back up in ROH. I'm ready to see this. And like, damn, now I love this. This is one of the things I loved about AEW, Alex. Mm-hmm. They can go left, they can go right, or they can drive right down the middle. And hey, let's throw them all three in a damn ring and do it.
Yeah.
Let's see that one, maybe. I'm pumped for this. I love that we've got Samoa Joe doing a turn, too. Jade versus Nyla, set for full gear. Jade isn't happy. I like the baddies. Very much like, let's just hurry up and keep up with her. But Jade's wonderful. She's such a star. Ethan Page defeated Eddie Kingston. You could see this one coming from a mile away, I think. I mean, Eddie Kingston is beloved, but this is, if you don't have a creative plan for Eddie Kingston right now, I do think it's good for him to be losing to a person like Ethan Page, who very much needs a win like that in what is probably the marquee match in this entire tournament right out of the gate. And Ethan Page wins with a phenomenal finish, the Ego's Edge from way up. But Ethan Page needed this win. He's improved himself so much. And I mean, you want to talk about a guy that can market himself, can produce his own content. He is, as I say about some people, the guy you want on your team. You want a guy like that. And then in 10 or 15 years, you hope that he stays with your team and teaches other people how to do all this stuff. You hope that he's there doing that. He and Eddie Kingston have been documented as being such good friends. They highlighted it very well early on, which I love because not everybody knew that.
Right.
But they are also such polar opposites that you could see that every once in a while, they are not going to like each other. Like, they are just too different from one another, too. I thought this was really, really good, and the right person got the win because Ethan Page, to me, is the favorite to win this whole thing.
Or Ricky Starks, I would say those.
Could be
those
Ricky, yeah.
But a couple of things about this match. I really liked it. I like these two guys a lot. I love Eddie. Desperately need Eddie to hold gold at some point. This is not the point. I understand that. But every time he's in a tournament where the prize of the tournament is a title shot, always in the back of my mind, I'm like, Eddie could win and I wouldn't be mad because I love Eddie Kingston so much, but not over Ethan Page, not in this spot. So I think what they're trying to do is show us who Ethan Page is, because a lot of people haven't seen a lot of his matches. He was doing a lot of stuff with the top team and everything, and that kind of soured people on him. He's a really great performer.
I mean, does he rely on me to get him 200,000 views on YouTube in his toy vlogs? Yes.
Of course.
Now, I mean, Danhausen was in it, but mainly me.
And Sawyer's saying that Eddie was protected with the visual submissions, though. I would have not done that because I think the most important thing coming out of this is that Ethan Page is looks as strong as possible, especially if you're going to have him win the tournament. So you didn't need the visual submission. Eddie doesn't need to be protected. I love Eddie. You don't need to protect Eddie. Eddie never gets protected anyway. This is fine. I having him tap out visually and having Shivani keep saying, but Ethan Page tapped out though. He should be the loser. That doesn't help build Ethan Page in the eyes of a lot of fans who maybe haven't seen all of his best stuff. So I think the more important thing is to keep him strong. He doesn't need to tap out because Eddie broke the hold anyway to chase off Stokely when Stokely was on the ramp. The other thing was, I love Eddie, and I just, that ego's edge from the top looked just so damn dangerous and so many different places. And I poor Eddie, so, man. Those bumps have got to really hurt on this frame.
One of the warnings that we were given in wrestling school, and anybody who takes or delivers the move, industry says, top rope razor's edge was dope, all ego. It's very hard to protect the back of your head on a move like that. It's hard enough on a power bomb, but from that high up, it's very, very hard. That's why sometimes when people get launched like that, they'll just immediately tuck and grab. But it is very hard. Sometimes you're taking one there, and that's unfortunate. But Ethan Page won this. I'm glad he won this. Renee interviewed Rouge Dark Order, and they're still trying to recruit Vance. I think John Silver called him a Rouge bag.
Rouge bag, yeah, Rouge bag.
Oh, I know it was supposed to be bad, but it was bad. Rouge versus Bandido on Rampage. Distri says the Joe turn was very, very welcome. Triple threat at Full Gear. That'd be a hell of a match.
You really would. And if you wanted to protect Wardlow, not that you want Samoa Joe taking the pin either, but like the thing of it is they might still do is, I believe there was super chat about this too. You might do back-to-back matches for Wardlow. You could have Wardlow versus Hobbs at Full Gear. Samoa Joe maybe costs Wardlow that title to Hobbs, and then you have Wardlow versus Joe for the TV title for ROH at Final Battle. So maybe that's what they do.
Jambeard says, Alex, you could do it where it's Wardlow versus Hobbs at Full Gear. Hobbs wins, then Joe versus Wardlow at ROH pay-per-view for the ROH TV title. That could make a lot of sense. I think
it could.
Honestly think Hobbs is the one to take the title away from
me too.
From him. And that's a drum that Will Washington of Grapsody and Day After Dynamite has been beating for quite some time.
Right.
Cole Carter's backstage. He's getting paid for attacking Darby. Is this him joining Lethal and Satin, or just them pimping old dude out?
Yep, this is what this segment showed, is that Cole Carter is not aligned with TNAEW. He is instead
Factory.
They paid the Factory, whatever the QT Marshall,
QT Lee Johnson.
They paid him for the services of Cole Carter because he's the only one who could fit in the Sting costume. And that he's like, here's 15% for you, kid. Nice job. Good business with you. And then this was trying to wrap up a whole bunch of different things. They challenge OC, who's standing right there, because Danhausen wants to yell at people. How about you versus Lee Johnson on Friday? And OC's like, yes, let's do that.
Before they can even make the challenge, he does that.
He's like, yes, please. And then Trent Beretta gets up in the face of Jay Lethal, calls them scumbags, and then he has a match with Jay Lethal. And it starts immediately.
Abruptly. Apparently,
this was like a earlier today backstage thing that they showed us. So that's fine. I would argue that you don't need to find and create new ways out of whole cloth for me to see more Jay Lethal on my screen.
Yeah.
The less the better, honestly. Like, and this whole thing with Jeff Jarrett may be it for some. It is not it for me. The whole thing from the Jay Lethal, especially Jay Lethal going over Trent Beretta, all the way through the double J, E double F, whatever, off that whole thing, if you just wipe that off the screen, there's time for so much more of great wrestling, because this didn't feel like it to me, except for Danhausen cursing Satnam Singh and then punching Sanjay in the balls. That was the only thing out of this that I enjoyed.
Well, Lethal defeated Trent. Danhausen did punch Satnam in the groin. Jeff Jarrett came out afterwards and cut a promo. And first off, it's content. It's like 96 Stone Cold Steve Austin content. Mm-hmm. The ain't nobody counting me down type of thing.
Right.
This wasn't for me. Mr. Black Soul says Jay Lethal and company get too much TV time. AEW has a stacked roster, and TNA's 2000s lineup make TV every week. And it's not even the Pope either. Like, nope. Damn, you could at least get Pope out there. But Amanda says, at AEW, so I'll catch the show late. Just want to say I've been to every Boston show, and this one was poorly attended, which is surprising. Also, The Lethal match was silent until Danhausen came out. Should have been swapped with Hader's time slot. Or put on Rampage. Or put
something
on Rampage.
Like that.
One highlight that did exist, though, Jeff Jarrett shoots hard on Braun Strowman's pants and the banana-nosed circus. Okay, I don't understand that one. I don't know that one.
That's Triple H.
Oh, goddamn. Okay, listen, I haven't heard a big nose Triple H joke in like 20 years.
That is the time frame that Jeff Jarrett is operating in. So
exactly. So listen, like the Triple H big nose jokes, by like 99, we were going, all right, let's come up with some new shit. It's been 23 years.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The banana, like he straight up called WWE the banana nosed circus.
Come on, man. What, Triple H didn't do anything to him? What the hell?
I don't know.
I mean, the Braun rib, cool. That's funny. Has Braun tweeted about this yet?
I don't know. Probably has.
Probably. Let's see. Let's take a look. Braun Strowman, Adam Share 99. Nope, we haven't seen him tweet two entire days yet. But
maybe they changed his password on him for his own good.
But he is wearing red skinny pants, which, I mean, who cares? Yeah. Who cares what he's wearing? But I mean, sure. Banana nose circus.
I think it's also very funny that they were like, this man is a legit 7'5". He's one in a billion. He's the only guy from India to ever end up in the NBA. Yeah. And how long did he stay there? At 7'5", he couldn't have like a 4 or 5 year career blocking shots. Maybe don't bring up that he used to be a basketball player if he was so bad at it at 7'5" that he could no longer continue doing it. It's a weird thing to bring up. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think, did he ever play in a regular season game?
No, he was a preseason only thing, I believe.
Okay, so I mean, yeah, that is a lot. To me, that's less than when they're like former NFL star and they were on the practice squad, because practice squad is actually very helpful and all that stuff. But
sure.
Dishri says, told you last week I didn't want Jared on TV. Valab says, slap nuts slapping hard on Braun.
Mm-hmm.
Those nuts did get slapped. Dishri says, nah, triple meat mash, Hobbs, Wardlow, and Joe. I'm cool with that. I'd be cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Perry says that he wants to make a challenge to Luchasaurus and Christian on Friday. So we'll see more of that on Friday. Mm-hmm. But we did get the Elite promo. Jambeard says, the thing about the promo, which feels to me a bit heelish, as us versus the company we built, which is odd since they were faces. To me, so much of it is going to be dictated based on the reaction that they get when they come out.
Mm-hmm.
How will the audience respond to them and their direction and what it is that they're saying or they're thinking? Mm-hmm. Sawyer says, do you think saving and advertising the Elite for the pay-per-view buys is better the business move than putting them on TV for the ratings? I think when you were, or when people say every week, it's big dynamite, big dynamite, big dynamite. It ain't Tony saying it. He's only said newsworthy. I do think it's good to put them on TV and then you pay to see them wrestle. I don't know if anybody's going to necessarily pay to be like, well, here's the guys that we saw 2.5 months ago on paper. The last pay-per-view, we watched them wrestle. I don't know if anybody's going to pay to just see them walk out and exist. Right. Maybe I'm wrong. Saraya and Britt Baker face to face. So I want to talk about the one thing I didn't like about this before I glow about how great it was. I don't think it was good that Saraya said, you got handed this spot by Tony Khan. I think that was a cheap thing and shouldn't have happened because Britt Baker earned this shit. Earned it with a great heel turn and hard work and wrestling through dental school and all that stuff.
Right.
So I disagree with that. Then after that, Britt said her piece and I thought it was fantastic. Then Saraya was fired up. Then we got something with substance. Then we got something that wasn't your name rhymes with shit. Tony Khan gave you this spot. Then we got her saying, I overcame drug addiction. I've been wrestling my entire life. My whole world, my whole life has been in front of people. You got hit by a car and still wrestled. These are two women who made incredibly different but significant sacrifices to be where they are. And I think that should be the story more than Tony Khan put you here. Because Tony Khan didn't put her there. She was getting looks by WWE, wasn't getting calls back, was working on the indies, worked all in. She earned all of that. And the reason she was so successful as a heel, what was it, 3 years ago now she turned heel, was because there was the implication that she was handed that she was going to be the poster girl because she was the first one that they signed. So I don't know if they needed that. I would love Britt to be like, maybe you should have watched the product before you came here type of thing. Mm-hmm. And that is the kind of line that Britt will slap you across the face with. But I thought that after that, boy, they volleyed and they went back and forth. And I thought this was really good. Alex, what did you think about this?
I thought it was really good too. I like there was some real emotion in Saraya's voice when she was talking about going through public humiliation. All that stuff that got out about her, also all the stuff, like we didn't bring it up, but I certainly was thinking about it, the very, very public, relationship problems with Del Rio that everyone knew about. It was all out there in the public eye. All that stuff that she had to deal with to be able to come back and then to come back and rehab a neck injury that everybody said that's it. You can't ever do this again. You have to really, really want it to come back after all of that and go through maybe go through some of that again. I like that a lot. I think that there is a perception among Brit detractors that she has been kept in the top spot when maybe there are other women who could be there. But because it does feel like even if she's not the champion, she's still the top woman in AEW, because she always makes everything seems to be made about her, how she relates to everything. Jamie Hayter's got the title match at Full Gear, but Britt Baker will certainly in the way that they're going to promote it, you watch, will have the biggest women's match there. Not for the AEW women's title, that's a secondary thing. The big one is going to be this thing, and honestly, maybe it should be Britt and Saraya, but the whole way through, it's always been about Britt being the top, most important. The story is all about her kind of a thing. And there's been that kind of detraction from her among some of the fans. And maybe that's Saraya suiting up and playing on that team for a bit as part of the build for this thing. I'm not sure. I will say I liked both of their promo. I thought it was really good. I liked them seeing Saraya getting physical and hitting her with the Rampage. I mean, the Ram Saraya. I don't know what they're going to call that move now, but it was a really cool DDT back in WWE. And I like it.
Hey, listen, They could just call it the Rampage.
They could. They could just take the eye out of it and it'd be perfect.
They could just call it the Rampage. Yeah. Distri says, Saraya said it. She's ready to get her career back. She posted the actual form from her, I believe it's her orthopedic surgeon, that says that she is cleared to compete. Like, because I mean, there's going to be a whole lot of people that doubt that, but her orthopedic surgeon did clear her. Also, her orthopedic surgeon has her birth date listed as 992. So she is very old.
Very old.
Very old. Jambeard says, another good note, 3 women's pay-per-view matches now. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Will one probably end up on the pre-show? Yes, probably. Yes. But it doesn't matter. I'm cool. If they're doing like 15 damn matches of pay-per-view, which they'll surely do.
Yeah, because they're doing one too many. I'll tell you that, because one of them is Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal versus Darby and Sting. That's one match too many right there.
Don't piss me off, slap nuts. Chi-Town Spurs says, it was so nice to see this segment get a lot of time. Would love to see others besides Britt get that as well. Yes, they do need to kind of highlight or show that they can carry that type of thing in a 15-minute promo. That way we're not talking about a bad promo. We're talking about a good one. Joey Bag of Donuts says, is it just me or did Saraya make AEW's women's division a lot better? I mean, she did immediately come in and she's a marquee name. A ready-made marquee name. 100%. And for all the big signings that AEW has had, having a marquee women's name be added is helpful. So that's good. Jamie Hayter defeated Sky Blue. I think it's Jamie Hayter's time. I think it is her time to win that damn title. Tony was there. Britt was there. But Jamie showed out. Jamie got the win. It is her time to take this title. I think Tony has done a very good job with it. And Tony has solidified herself too. But I'm really digging everything about her right now. And I feel like the time to capitalize on her was before, but do it now.
Yeah. I think there's a very easy way to go from Jamie beats Tony, becomes AEW World Champion, and Saraya beats Britt, and Britt, it feels like she's been knocked down a peg. And so she immediately be like, okay, Jamie, I want the first title match. And Jamie's like, sure. Yeah. Okay. Let's do it. And have Britt like legitimately cheat the whole way through it to like really start the whole, Jamie Hayter and Britt thing off. Right. There's a way of actually getting Britt motivated. Like maybe she would have just let Jamie have her title reign, but after losing to Saraya in Saraya's debut match, she feels like she needs to have something to prove to people. So she needs to be champ again. There's something there. I think that there's an easy way to tell that story.
Action says, do you think Adam Cole is maybe the guy to take the ROH title off of Jericho? Maybe the Kingdom, all in effect, to kick off ROH TV streaming deal? You know, if that honestly would be a great name to take the ROH title off of Jericho.
It would be.
But you got to have him on Dynamite and Rampage, too. Like, he is a bona fide star.
He really is. I miss him, too. It's one of those things of, like,
too.
Like, since he's been out, I know, like, he can't wrestle yet, apparently, because if he could, they would let him wrestle.
Sure.
But he should just be around every now and then cutting promos, because he's a big star and people would go crazy for his entrance.
Dante promo, Cage promo. I don't know what happened that got Cage back on TV and so often and prominently, but this very short amount of time so far has been my favorite Cage run that I've seen. And I even watched him in Lucha Underground. I think that he's put it together a lot more from a promo perspective. I am very excited to see this match because Cage in general is good, but Cage, when he can heave somebody around like Dante, is great.
Yeah.
Archer knocks the living shit out of Starks, slams him up against the door, and he's wearing his big furry jacket. I thought these were effective right here.
Yeah, Archer versus Ricky Starks. Now we have an injured Ricky Starks, so you can play against that. But yeah, to me, it feels like we're getting a Ricky versus Ethan Page final, and it all depends on how they want to play it after the I mean, if MJF actually comes out of full gear as not only the champion, but swerving us all along, and it's really MJF is made you believe the devil didn't exist kind of a thing, then obviously you can't run Ethan Page versus him unless you want to do Finger Poke of Doom. So it's got to be Ricky coming out of there. And Ricky getting the first title. Honestly, there's a really cool story there for Ricky getting the first title match against MJF. And Ricky also then, a year later, being the guy to eventually take that belt from MJF in the bidding war of 24. I think there's a really, really cool way of telling that story as well. We know that Tony likes telling really long-term stories. That might be a fun one to do.
We got a super chat from Turley Time. By the way, guys, get them in. We are heading down the home stretch. It says, is Paige Van Zandt still with AEW? Where is she? She had a fight scheduled for August. It got rescheduled to October, and then it was canned, I believe. So she's been doing that. I mean, that is her primary gig. Well, I think probably her exclusive site is her primary gig these days. But you know, she's got a lot of stuff to do, and I think she's going to be a special feature there. History says the Kingdom idea with Cole is money. I miss him. I do too. But you know what I don't miss? All my favorite shows when I'm on the road. Because of NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can change your virtual location with just one click. You can protect yourself on unsecured Wi-Fi at the airport. Heck, at McDonald's even. You don't want Ronald McDonald hacking your stuff. You don't want that. But at hotels, all that good stuff. I'm going to be at WrestleCade later this month. I'll be on that unsecured Wi-Fi. I'm using NordVPN.com/Fightful to protect me. But I'm also using it so I can watch SmackDown, so I can watch Rampage, so I can watch Survivor Series while I'm there. And I can also watch this weekend's UFC pay-per-view at a much more affordable price thanks to NordVPN.com/Fightful. By subscribing to those overseas services, you get 4 additional months free, a 30-day money-back guarantee, block online trackers, malware, and annoying pop-up ads. It makes your browsing experience so much better with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Maybe you missed that old WWE Network. You want to watch AEW Dynamite on AEW Plus without commercials. But you can't do that here in the States. You can if you got NordVPN.com/Fightful. Check out that deal. 30-day money-back guarantee. If you don't like it, but you're gonna, you will love it. Distry says, I would buy the F out of Ricky versus MJ. Bring it. Well, Brian Danielson and Sammy brought it. 2 out of 3 falls match, pre-match promo. Brian notes that he's not getting respected with Yuta. And Morg says, weekly tribute to Alex, king of ad reactions. But with Danielson's promo, do you think we'll be getting a Yuta-Danielson match? Maybe he's an Iron Man where he tries to beat some respect into Yuta, or maybe loser leaves BCC. Don't want either, but maybe. I think the BCC is all about that. I think the BCC could absolutely all have matches with one another and then shake their hands afterwards, or maybe not. Mm-hmm. But I do like seeing this more curmudgeonly Bryan Danielson, Alex.
Sure. Him, being the guy who's realizing maybe that Yuta was right about him not caring enough, but being angry that somebody had to point it out to him and that it was Wheeler Yuta. So yeah, I think there's a potential for that. But you know, when they announced this, I was like, didn't we just do this 2 weeks ago? Like it feels like, yeah, if it had been like a month, 6 weeks, oh okay, but 2 weeks felt like it was too soon. It wasn't, as it turns out to be, because these two guys are consummate in-ring superstars. One of them is the very best in the world currently. I will say this before we get into the rest of the match. 2 out of 3 falls always makes me go, is it really 2 out of 3 falls? Or are you going to book the heel intentionally gets disqualified, then beats up the babyface a lot and gets a victory to even it up? And then the last fall is the only real part of the wrestling match. Because when you book that kind of 2 out of 3 falls match, immediately I get deflated. Now, sure. As soon as Sammy threw the chair and hit Danielson, I just checked out until the second fall was over. Because the second fall doesn't matter anymore because we know exactly what's going to happen. So I really wish they had actually booked a straight up 2 out of 3 falls match without that part of it. Because so often when you get a 2 out of 3 falls match, that's the way they book it. And I'd rather they didn't. But the third fall was spectacular. That final third of the match was so brilliant. Honestly, the rest of it before didn't take away from it. But it's just my own little pet peeve about 2 out of 3 falls matches.
It feels like since Anarchy in the Arena, or really even around then, that Danielson has only faced like Garcia, Jericho, Sammy.
It really does feel like that.
And I mean, I know he had a great match against Hangman. He had the match with Moxley, but it's been like Yas nonstop. And again, I know it's because the Eddie Kingston promo carried over into the Yas Blackpool Combat Club thing. I'm ready to move on. I would rather see BCC Civil War with Yuta and Danielson than this to continue, even though they had a killer match, an unbelievable match. But when I look at this now, I'm like, all right, well, Danielson also won a few weeks ago. Don't need to see this again.
Right.
Don't need to do it again. So I hope that's the route that they go. And I don't want them to lean so much into over and over rematch. And Sammy did get the pin over Danielson in the tag match or got the win there. But just incredible work with these two guys. But I didn't feel quite as excited as I was for their first match. Also, shout out to Julie Cutler in the chat. She will be joining me on the Full Gear post show. She saved my ass during All Out because before the show, I said, hey, let's keep our thoughts a little more succinct. We'll have a normal show. Well, then she could tell some shit was going down on the post show, and she covered for me an awful lot. I am so excited to have Julie Cutler join us. Alex, you will be live on Fightful Select as well after that.
Yeah,
but in a couple of weeks, I will be out for Thanksgiving, and John Alba will be joining us. We got such positive reviews of yourself and John Alba, so hopefully we can see more of John Alba here on Fightful. But we get wrapped up with a super chat. Jam Beard says, can we get Paul Pawlowski singing Shut Up and Dance With Me by Walk the Moon? Alex knows why this song. I mean, we all know why the song. Because the Masked Singer posted a video, which is objectively hilarious, of a bridezilla, an actual Godzilla bride, and it's Chris Jericho in there.
Yes, obviously.
Now, I know that when he takes off that thing, Ken Jeong's going to go, what? Because that's the only thing I've ever seen to that show. But, Alex, without further ado...
Don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said, you're holding back. She said, just shut up and dance with me. This woman's my destiny. She said, ooh, 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 shut up and dance with me.
Guys, I want to thank you all so much. I have a feature on KC Navarro. If you don't know him, you probably need to get to know him. People in my feature were comparing him to Rey Mysterio. We talked to people in WWE, AEW, and Impact Wrestling, ROH, all that stuff about KC Navarro. He flew to Nashville during StarCast to do this interview with me. And when I see that, I was like, you know what? There's something different about this guy. When I did this interview, I was like, I've got to do a feature here. And I've done this before on Muhammad Hassan, the Brawl for All. I did it on Anthony Bowens. You guys are really going to like this. Also, guys, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. If for some reason you're on the fence, here's what I'll tell you to do. Check out the Backstage Report podcast. I dropped it today here on YouTube, on podcast platforms everywhere. Already had 5,000-6,000 people download it before we went on the air tonight. That is up every week on Fightful Select. Only $5 a month. Alex, tell the people what you got going on.
You can find me on the Twitter at Alex Sour Graps, not paying to be verified. Won't do it. Also over on Fightful Select, I review Raw and SmackDown over there, as well as the pay-per-views with Miss Kayfabe, Kate Elizabeth, and also Tuesday nights, NXT still going strong? Question mark. It exists, and we review it every Tuesday. It's a lot of fun,
guys. Check it out. We're gonna have AEW news up on Fightful Select tomorrow. We're gonna have some Impact news as well. Got good interviews up this week. Giselle Shaw right now. Josh Alexander later this week. Listen, your boy was today. Thank you guys so much. I truly appreciate you all. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Comment below what you liked, what you didn't like. Distri says, several unread super chats. Okay, I get it. Okay, Distri, tell me which ones were unread. Because I can't magically read them without knowing what they are. I'm scrolling up right now. We read that one. I'm looking right here. I appreciate your business. We read that one. Let's see where else we got. What else we got? Scrolling up. Told you last week I didn't want Jared on TV. We read that one as well. We read this one as well. We read them. Thank you so much, Distri. I appreciate you. And we appreciate Luis, our moderator, who collects these. Until next time, guys. We're out.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.